So a few weeks ago, we were gathered together for a homegoing service for Sister Esperanza Marquez. And as Pastor began to speak, and he rolled into his message, I was sitting right there on the front pew, and I'm nodding, and I'm agreeing. And then he quoted Hebrews 9 and 27. And when he quoted Hebrews 9 and 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Although you could look at my outer appearance, and I was still nodding and calm. But on the inside, I was going, no, stop, don't go that way, that's my message. Trying to get his attention. Needless to say, I did not. And he kept rolling right along on Hebrews 9 and 27. And what he said was good, and what he said was right, and what he said was needful, was timely, was biblical, was truth. I kept going, but that's my message. So this morning, I give y'all one guess where I'm coming from. Hebrews 9 and 27. Now, you can stop looking around. We're not going to roll in a casket. This is not a funeral message. This is not a death message. But this is a message about life. This is a message about how we walk in the light so that we can live in eternity. A message of how we live when we know what's coming next. So there is no question as to whether or not man is going to die. Because the scripture says, it is appointed unto man once to die. So this death is not something that just sneaks up on a person, grabs them and says, gotcha. Now, granted, death may come when we least expect it. But from the time that we were born, death is the destination for us to leave this earth. So there should be no surprise there. The surprise is, oh, it came on July 4th when I thought it was going to come, July 4th, 2025, when I thought it was going to come on July 4th, 2055, okay? But it's an appointment. This is an appointment that man has received because of sin. And man has received it because of sin that God says, this is what's going to happen. He told Adam when he fell in the garden that from dust thou art, dust you will go back, meaning you're going to die. And from the time that Adam fell in the garden, spiritual death was immediately. Spiritual death was immediately because man then became cut off from the life source, which is God. Now, granted, God does allow us to live. He lets us breathe. He lets our heart continue to pump the blood in our bodies that we need. But the reality of it is, when Adam fell, death came in. And it's because of that death, man, every man has an appointment with death. And you can read throughout the scriptures when it talks about the genealogy. And it'll say, Adam lived so many years and he died. Methuselah lived longer than anybody else. but he died. Noah survived the flood, but he died. Moses saw the glory of God, but he died. So it is appointed unto man to die. Now, I got to throw in the two, because I know y'all are going, well, there's two that didn't die, Elijah and Enoch. That is true. But they're coming back. And they're coming back to die. Because there is an appointment for each and every man that comes on this earth to die. Now, I don't want to focus in so much on death, because it seems like when we talk about death, death tends to scare people. Death gives us that warm feeling in our heart, and not the good warm feeling. The warm feeling that I don't want to have to deal with that. I definitely don't want to have to go through that, and I'll get to that part in a minute. But I think when we focus in on death, our focus on death needs to be a dead lamb and a puddle of blood. Because that is the answer to man's situation that we are in, to our dilemma. And our dilemma is sin. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. If Jesus had not been obedient unto death and came down and laid down his life, not because of anything that he did, but because of something that I needed, something that you need, something that you need, we would be on our way to hell. You know, and that's where we're going with this. Yes, it is appointed unto man once to die. But after we die, what's next? After we die, what's next? As a believer, there should not be any concern as to what's next. Because we know what's next. And we should be looking joyfully towards death, living a lifestyle that is obedient to the word of God, obedient to the example that God has put before us, which was his son Jesus, obedient to the leading and the direction of the Holy Ghost, because there is a what's next coming. And it's a matter of how we choose to enter in to that what's next. Do we choose to enter in to that what's next, looking to Jesus to either be allowing him to judge our sins on the cross, which is where we want them. We want them at the foot of the cross. We want them under his shed blood. Or do we want our sins to be judged by Jesus at the great white throne judgment? Those are the only two options we have. We can either allow our sins to be judged now for what Jesus did, or we can allow our sins to be judged in the future when we're standing before the great white throne. And God in his, I'm talking Father, infinite wisdom, he prepared a body for his son to come down, to die, for the remission, as I say, my sin, your sin, not his own sin, because he was sinless. And that by Jesus being obedient unto death, obedient unto death, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and when his judgment was complete, because His resurrection showed that his sacrifice was perfect. He was judged perfect before the Father. And after his judgment, he was seated at the right hand of power. That was his judgment. That's his glory. And it's because of his obedience and his love for mankind, he gives us that same opportunity to allow our sins to be covered in the blood, to allow our sins to go before us and not be waiting for us at the great white throne judgment. So either we're going to have our sins judged with Christ at the cross, or we're going to have our sins judged with him at the great white throne judgment. And see, although the Father had the authority, he gave the judgment to the Son, because it was the Son who sacrificed his life. It was the Son who was obedient unto death. It was the Son who shed his blood. And therefore, I think he's earned the right to be the judge. You know, I'm sure some of you have heard Pastor talk about his mindset and how he tells God if he had 5 days, he could fix everything. Everything would be fixed. You know, and we laugh, but think about it. We may not say it out loud, but the bottom line is we're thinking the same thing. I can fix that. I can take care of this over here. But because we are man and we are fallen man, our judgment would not be equal across. Because I'm going to be fair to you today because you have on black. But then I'm not going to be fair to, and now I'm looking around and all the brothers got on black today. I'm not going to be fair to you because you got on gray. Maybe I should switch that because I have on gray too. So I'm going to be fair to you because you got on gray, because I got on gray. I'm not going to be fair to you because you got on black. But see, that's our mindset. So we as man should not be in a position to judge. We should not be judging people because we think, oh, you smoke, so, you know, I'm going to judge you and you going to hell. Oh, you drink, I'm going to judge you, so, no. But see, Jesus, in his judgment is a constant. His judgment is fair. His judgment is true. And so we as believers should be able to stand upon the fact of knowing that his judgment is true, his judgment is fair, and we know what's next. There should be no doubt in our mind. When we look at, as the scripture says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We have an opportunity because we know judgment is coming. We have an opportunity on this side of the grave to do what is necessary in order to get to that judgment that's next. And when I say do what's necessary, I'm not talking about doing good works, because we all like to do them good works. Because I fed so many people. I helped the homeless. I clothe the naked, and yes, we need to be doing all those things, okay? But that's not what gets us into the next when it comes to heaven. Works is not what gets us there, although we should have some works. Faith without works is dead. But as a believer, knowing that there is a judgment, knowing that something comes next, And let me just say this. When I say we, I'm talking mankind. Sometimes we allow death to scare us. And it scares us because it's the unknown. But as believers, there should be no unknown. As a believer, we know what's next. And so when we look at, but after that, the judgment, and I thought this was really interesting. You know, in our society, we can be convicted of a crime. When I say convicted, I'm talking about gone through the judicial system. We get convicted, and yes, we are guilty, but I'm going to appeal this. And we appeal. And we go to the next court. Yeah, I know I was guilty, but they just didn't give me a fair shake. So guess what? I'm going to appeal it again. Have you ever noticed we spend 15, 20 years of funding? Okay, I'm not going to go there. So I've appealed it again. Well, I still didn't get the response that I want. So guess what? I'm going to take it to the Supreme Court because I want something done. I want there to be a change. Well, with God, there is no appeal. We have one chance to get this right. We have one chance on this side of death to get it right. Because after death, as I said, there is no appeal. As a tree falls, that's where the tree lies. As we fall, that's where we lie. But we have an opportunity on this side to place our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And if we place our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, there is no need for appeal. Because that's got it covered. That's the answer to every problem. Our situation is changed by how we choose to live this life. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and try and get people to stop, quit, don't. Because one thing that I have found, and I had this conversation just a few days ago with a young lady, and we were talking about deliverance. And I know God delivered me. Whew, thank you, Jesus. I just don't think about the fact that God delivered me, but I know He did. And I was explaining to her that stop, quit, don't does not fix anything, cannot fix anything. But what stopped me, what quit me, what don'ted me was because when I got saved, I looked to Jesus. I know all this other stuff is going on all around me. I look to Jesus. I stay focused on Jesus because I don't want to go back to smoking. I don't want to go back to drinking. I don't want to go back to sexing. I don't want to go back to running around. I want to keep my eyes affixed upon Jesus. Because I know that there's something that's coming next. I don't want to be going into heaven. I don't want to be standing before my Lord and Savior. And then in dances my sin behind me. Hey, remember us. This is what we did. No. I want to go in and I want all that mess to be in front of me. I want all that mess to be covered by His blood. I want all that mess to be answered by Jesus and not by myself. Because if I try and answer it myself, it doesn't work. It's not going to pass. It ain't cutting mustard. There's nothing that I can do myself other than accepting the shed blood of Jesus Christ and what He did for me on Calvary's cross that is going to help me to get to the next. Anything that I do on myself is futile. Because, you know, all man has is temporal things. All we can do is temporal. But what Jesus has done for us is eternal. The same Jesus who bore our sin will judge our sin. You know, when you... I am having a time this morning. Look at the great white throne. It's great, because there's no other authority that outranks it. And it's white because there's nothing impure that influences it. And as I mentioned before, if we are the judge, if we are the ones that are trying to pass a judgment upon somebody, we have a whole bunch of emotion, a whole bunch of mess that is going to influence the decision that we make. But Jesus doesn't have all of that. No one escapes judgment. Not the believer, not the unbeliever. But some of us will escape condemnation. Our what's next does not have to be condemnation. Our what's next does not have to be going into the lake of fire, going into hell and then have hell cast into the lake of fire. Our what's next does not have to be an eternity in torment. But our what's next can be an eternity spent with Jesus. For those of you who have known me for any length of time, you know I love to worship. I love to worship because I think about, one, where God has brought me from. Two, where he has me at. And three, where he's taking me to. But when I look at, as much as I love to worship, I mean, I can, hey. I look at, this is nothing compared to my what's next. To my, and I say 24/7, although we're not going to have, we're not going to have time like that, but you can relate when I say 24/7. 24/7, praising God. 24/7, saying holy, holy, holy. 24/7, saying hallelujah. 24/7, Lord, you're worthy. 24/7, I give you my honor, I give you my praise, I give you my all in all. 24/7. That's the what's next that I look forward to. That's the what's next that awaits a believer. If we place our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on this side, then we have no worries of what's next on the other side. But if we haven't done what we need to do on this side as we live with our life, if we don't live our life as to looking towards what's next. And again, I have to say, not in anything that we can do in ourselves. I am not pushing works. I am pushing faith, but I'm not pushing works. But I'm pushing faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm pushing faith in knowing that we can boldly go to the throne of grace and cry out for mercy. And you know, when we look at mercy, because he has bestowed so much mercy upon us, and it's not that we're going to ride mercy into eternity, but we're going to ride the righteousness of Jesus Christ into eternity. We're going to ride everything that the Son has bestowed upon us into eternity. Because that is what is going to take us in. We will all stand before the great white throne of judgment. But will we be judged for condemnation? Or will we be judged because we have placed our faith in Jesus? And that's a decision that we all have to make while we're living. Is to be able to look at our life that we are living and how we are living it. Not so much with stop, quit, don't, as to a dead lamb and a puddle of blood. Where is our faith placed this morning? if it's placed in anything other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he paid on Calvary, then it's misplaced. If it's placed anyplace else, we might have issues when we get up there to be judged, because we don't have what it takes. We like to think we have what it takes. But if it ain't the sacrifice of Jesus, it ain't. If we don't have him, we have nothing. We can't stand before him going, "Oh, don't you remember when I did this, that, and the other?" No. It's either the sacrifice or it's not. And this morning, as I close, I just want to ask you, think about it. How are you living your life? Are you living your life looking at what's next? Preparing for what's next? And when I say preparing, having accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, having accepted the sacrifice that he paid on Calvary's cross, what is next for you in your life? Father, we just thank you right now for your word. We thank you, Lord, for you allowing us to have an opportunity to place our faith in the sacrifice that was paid on Calvary. Father, we just ask that you help us, Lord. If we have yet to make up our mind that we want to serve you, continue drawing us, continue tugging on our heart, continue, Lord, helping us to be made aware that there is a what's next coming, that there is a judgment coming. And we can either allow our sins to be judged by Jesus at Calvary, or we can allow our sins to be judged at the great white throne. Father, I just ask that you touch each and every heart, each and every life, Lord. Continue to keep us, continue to allow your angels to be encamped round about us as we go forth living our life with the what's next.
Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for this word. We thank you for the reminder that, Father, we can fall unto you and find rest. We thank you that you are what's next, Father. As we fix our eyes on you, we know that you have a plan for us. We know that you sent your son to die for us. We know that we can truly, truly trust in your plan. So, Father, we just thank you this morning for this word. We thank you because you alone have paid the price for our sins, and that we can stand boldly in that day and know that we do not lean on what we've done, but we lean on what you've done. We just give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. 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 We just thank the Lord for that word. As the scripture says, where the tree falls, that's where that tree will lie. So we have one chance to simply get it right. We have one chance to fall on Christ, on what he did, not what we're doing, not what we can do, but on what he did. Amen. All right. We're going to go ahead and worship and give in real quick. So if you haven't had a chance to give, now is definitely the time to do so. And last but not least, on February 22nd, for the 9 a.m. and the second service, we're going to have Pastor Torrence Nash with us. So February 22nd, we're going to have Torrence Nash with us here at Christ Unveiled. So please come out and invite those that you feel led to, as you feel led to do so. Amen. Please rise and I'll close us up with a word of prayer and you will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is with us. We thank you for this word that has come forth. We ask that you help us be doers, Father, not just people who hear and forget what we look like, but Lord, that we truly hear what was said this morning. Help us to be people that always keep what's next at the forefront of our mind. Help us to be confident in the sacrifice that you have paid for us, Lord Jesus, knowing that though we do have to stand in that place where when we die, that we can be confident in the price that you've paid for us. Once again, Lord, we just thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In the mighty, precious name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.